Hello and welcome to Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. This is episode number 13, Lucky 13. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I'm Robert Rosenthal.
Coming up, we have a lot of topics to get to. Both basketball teams are in action, some football roster news. Football National Championship, Robert, is coming up in a few days. And we're going to open up the listener viewer mailbag. No podcast has ever done that before, right?
No. Brand new thing, soliciting questions over email and reading them on the air. On the air? Is it the air? On the... Yeah, air would indicate radio.
Bytes?
Yes.
Little
yes.
Bits of data?
Across the digital universe.
Amazing Maisie Garrett is here for us as well, our producer, so she will open up the mailbag and bring us some of our questions. And... next week starts second semester at the U of I. There's one. I love students.
Yes.
I love students. And I get a little rankled when townies say, I'm so glad the students are gone, because they're the heart and soul of what this whole community is. So mm-hmm. I love students here. But I will lament, as I was driving in today, it's the last few days of the blinking red lights on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Stop signs instead of, what's the opposite of stop signs? Stop and goes?
Yes. Instead of, they turn the stoplights into stop signs to by four blinking reds in every direction, and it makes it quite easy to drive around campus, and that all ends in a few days.
But it'll all be worth it, but I'll miss the blinking reds. Speaking of lights.
Segue. That was well done. What should we do, Scott?
We should get into this.
And to do that, we should...
light the eye. Want to start with hoops?
Should we start with Casual Friday? Did you not get the memo? We're supposed to wear a t-shirt.
In your life, everything is Casual Friday. Don't show off the sweatpants.
They're the type with the bunch at the bottom. What are they called? Oh, God, I'm not even going to think of the word. Hold on. What,
elastic?
Nope. Joggers. I believe they're called jogger. It could be a soft J.
A new fad.
Yes. Yeah, I believe my wife bought these. I'm not used to the sweatpants that has like bunches at the ankle. Not used to it.
Did you French roll your jeans?
I did. Yes, I did.
In college?
In
high school?
I did back then, yes. I mean, 1992, you had to roll your jeans. Were you kidding?
Yeah.
You had to.
I don't know. Maisie wasn't ready for a call up here.
I'll take it.
All right. Is there something fashion-wise you're like, yeah, that was definitely middle school or high school? Because for me, middle school was everybody French rolled their jeans. Do you know what that is?
Like cuffing the bottom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you kind of folded it over once and made it tight.
Like a really tight cuff at the bottom of your jeans.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
This was early 90s.
Yes.
Plus slap bracelets.
Is there anything like that now? They all have their own style now. There's no like one style.
Yeah, to be with a crowd, I don't know, it feels like that's the thing that you don't want to be. Is that true? You just, whatever's functional?
I mean, yeah, kind of. I feel like now, like you see it with me right now, I feel like we're all just sweats all the time, mostly. And then if you want to dress up, everybody kind of has a different style when it comes to dressing up now, because now we're in the renaissance of all the fashion. So the 2000s stuff's coming back, the mm-hmm. 90s, the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Look at this.
I mean, honestly, it looks like she's got the Colonel Blake from MASH sweatshirt on. That's absolutely retro right there.
Look at this. We're hitting all of the
that's
generations.
Right. A Henry Blake reference. I love it.
All right.
Good
stuff. Well, good to see you, Maisie. Appreciate you. We're going to get more with you in a little bit. But Illinois hoops against Northwestern on Wednesday night up at Welsh Ryan Arena, a place for
that doesn't
reasons
exist
that
in my
don't
universe.
Understand you won't go into. But Illinois gets a 79-68 victory. Am I reading that right? Yep, that is an 11-point win, and that's a true 11 for you.
Yes.
So close.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But more importantly, the Illini had a little bit of a winning streak here, up to 6 games in a row.
Yeah, it's crazy. Tyler, guy writes for the site, had looked up all of the winning streaks under Underwood and found that it's only 8. It's his longest winning streak in Champaign for any team. So beat Minnesota and Maryland at home, which, I mean, favored by 15 over Minnesota and definitely by more over Maryland. And, you know, he'll match his longest winning streak as Illinois head coach.
Yeah, the team doesn't want to get ahead of themselves, but we can.
Yep.
Yeah, winning 8 in a row is definitely very doable for Illinois. And then they would go to Mackey Arena on the 24th of January, generally regardless as the toughest road environment for teams. And obviously Purdue being really good is the primary factor for that, but it's also really loud and the student section's right on top of you.
Yep.
With the paint crew. So.
Yep. It'll be tough. It's funny. I remember the media day, I guess it would have been 4 years ago now, the media day where Matt Painter was asked about Braden Smith. And he was a freshman. No one had seen him play yet. He wasn't ranked in the top 100, very similar to Keaton Wagler. And Painter made this statement of like, if you want to see how bad recruiting rankings have gotten, just wait till you see Braden Smith. I have no idea how no one would see this guy play and think he's a top 100 recruit. It just means no one watched him. And he went on this rant about like, nobody watches the high school players anymore. And you're about to see that I have a kid that I think is a top 10 talent in the entire class, and no one knows it because he's not ranked anywhere. And what do we have now? Big 10 player of the year last year, almost certain to be Big 10 player of the year this year. It's crazy.
Well, and Illinois has an under-the-radar guy in Keaton Wagler, and I don't remember his recruiting rankings. It wasn't nothing, but...
Well, he wasn't on anyone's top 100 list. He was like 142 here and
yeah.
178 there. But
he is certainly a freshman of the year candidate for the Big Ten.
Yep.
And he's steady Eddie right now. And one of the reasons, perhaps, that he was overlooked, he wasn't with a high profile AAU. But I talked with a member of the media, the national media, who saw him in high school in the Kansas City area and said that that's absolutely who he was in high school. And it was only because, according to Brad Underwood, that his son Tyler Underwood was watching an event for somebody else and then saw Wagler and was like, oh, I got to take a look at him. And yep. They went, oh, I can see what he's going to be.
Yeah, it's crazy that Kansas didn't get involved. Kansas State didn't get involved. Wichita State didn't get involved. When Wichita State was great for those 10 years, you know, like 10, 15 years ago, they would always discover this kid. They were always finding the Ron Baker who was so, so good and get him to Wichita State and turn him into a star, and they'd find their team in the top 10. And that just doesn't happen anymore. And, you know, for Illinois to discover a kid in that spot, like Bill Self has to be kicking himself. The Kansas State coach has to be kicking. Like, this kid is right there for the taking, and they don't even see him or offer. It's crazy.
Illinois is the better for it.
Yep.
So I wanted to bring up something that Brad Underwood actually mentioned today. I noticed, just because it's cool, that Illinois' starting lineup is averaging double digits because Tomislav Ivicic had 22 in the game against Northwestern the other night. So if you...
Yep. You want to pull up the image on my screen there, Maisie. Yeah.
Okay, so there's all 5 starters. Tomislav Ivicic, 10.5 points a game. Top scorer is Keaton Wagler at 16.1. Balanced scoring. Everybody's in double figures for the regular starting lineup. Obviously, Mirkovic didn't start on Wednesday night, but he played a good bulk of the game. He was under the weather, but was good to go. Now let's consider the scoring leaders for the Big Ten. And look at, here's the top 10, or top 11 as it were. What do you notice about this? And this was Brad Underwood pointed something out with the media today. Nobody in the top 10, 11 scorers is amongst the 5 top Big Ten teams. How do you want to quantify the top 5 Big Ten teams? Standings: Nebraska, Purdue, Michigan State, and Illinois record-wise. Everyone's 6-0 or 5-1, but you look at all those teams are in the top 25 of Ken Pom or the top 25 of the AP poll. None of those teams. Well, Iowa's Bennett Sturts. He's at 17.7 points per game. That's the first guy in that list of players that's in one of the top teams in the Big Ten right now.
Yep.
What does that tell you?
I mean, you know, I think the reason Underwood is bringing it up, obviously, is that balanced scoring is the key to everything. And teams that have, hey, Bruce Thornton, please save us, and if you don't score 32, we're probably going to lose, are struggling more. And we just saw that in the Iowa game, right? Like, in a sense, Iowa had a benefit to this moment where Sturts got his fourth foul, went out of the game, and the rest of the team no longer can be like, well, just get it to Bennett and let him shoot. It was a, we got to see what we have and who we are and everything else. So, yeah, I think it's a very interesting point that, sure, Martinelli's scoring 24 points a game, and they're, what, 0-5, 0-6 in the Big Ten? You know, same with what we've seen at Wisconsin. They have two scorers here in the top, and, you know, they rely on two guys, so they should have some balance, and they're, you know, maybe a step back from where Wisconsin normally is. So, yeah, it's a very interesting point that there's no Michigan here, there's no Illinois here, there's no Purdue here. The balanced teams, the teams without the heavy score, are doing better this season.
Wow. We're six games into the Big Ten schedule. That could all change, but I guarantee you any head coach would rather five double-digit scores where you give up a few points here and there for a few guys versus the 30-point-a-night guy and not enough pieces around him, which is maybe the case at Northwestern.
Yep.
Good stuff. All right, yep. Illinois against Minnesota on Saturday morning. The women on Thursday night were in Ann Arbor against a very good Michigan Wolverine team and took a loss. Silver lining to me is the Illini fell down by 14, I think, at the end of the first quarter against the Wolverines and basically played them even after that for the last three quarters. Now, you can't give up a double-digit lead to a top-10 team like Michigan and expect to come back. But the Illini still shrunk it to 5 points in the second half. And they were without Gretchen Dolan, who at the time of that we're talking here is considered day-to-day with a knee injury, but she did not play. And the Illini will host Northwestern on Sunday. But the Illini were hoping for another big signature win. They've been knocking on the door of another one since they beat Maryland at home on New Year's Day, but couldn't get it against the Wolverines. But make no mistake, Wolverines are probably Final Four type good.
Yep.
If they take care of what they can do. So I don't think there's a lot to hang your head about losing to the Wolverines. And I'll add this because somebody pointed out to me before the game, like, oh, I'm a little nervous about this one. And I just said, how many times has a Shauna Green team just got run out of the gym?
Yeah.
It just hasn't happened that much. And maybe a double-digit loss, I don't know how you want to qualify that.
Yep.
But, again, to fall behind but then play even and even come back in that second half.
Cut it to five or four or whatever they cut it to. Yeah.
Yeah, it was five. So,
yep.
You know, there's no moral victories, but – still, they did not get steamrolled.
Yes, and especially shorthanded without Dolan. So I think that's probably the biggest thing right now. I mean, Gretchen missed last season with a knee injury. Shauna has said that this is the other knee, but it's going to rattle some people of like, oh, okay, is this a three-day thing or is this a 23-day thing? And that's the thing because she's been such a vital part of it. Without her, defenses can just sag onto Barry Wallace. So,
who still put up 20 plus.
Yes, yes, yes. Headed for what should be first team All Big Ten probably. So, it'll be interesting. It's, you know, this game on Sunday, Northwestern's not very good. Maybe you'll see them sit Gretchen Dolan again just to get her some rest. Then what, a bye week, right?
Like, well, a whole week off.
A whole week until Saturday game or whatever, so. Maybe that could give her enough time to rest the knee and such. But, not much you can read. You play what's probably the best team in the conference and you lose on the road. That's you know, hard to find anything wrong.
Let's talk football roster news. I portal is closing up this week, but a familiar face is running it back, according to social media posts. Xavier Scott, going to do one more year. As you recall, he was injured in the Western Michigan game week 3 when the Illini beat the Broncos. Did not see any Big Ten action this year. Had surgery pretty quick after that game and did not play this entire season. But he's coming back, and it was a huge impact on the Illini defense without him, as guys all had to rotate around there in the secondary and figure out a new way to operate. So that has got some people optimistic about what the secondary could be again for Illinois in 2026.
Yeah, I mean, this is a, you know, in 2024, he was first team all Big Ten. And Big Ten has 18 teams now. It is very difficult for an Illinois football player to be named one of the top two corners in the entire conference. And in 2024, he was that. He was first team all Big Ten. So for him to come back, it's massive. Look, yes, there are guys who make honorable mention teams, but I think of the actually making the first, second, or third team all Big Ten last year, it was J.C. Davis, it was Gabe Akis, and it was Hank Beatty, and I believe that's it. All three seniors who graduated and moved on to the NFL draft. And so you were returning zero all Big Ten, you know, you had honorable mention guys, but zero all Big Ten team guys. And now you get a back a first teamer. That's massive, massive for the defense. Just, I can't emphasize how big it is to have him back, because then you're pairing him with Matt Bailey in the secondary. And Juice Clark showed in the second half of the season that he has number one cornerback qualities. And you start combining that with some of the recruits and the transfers and this and that, you should have a pretty solid secondary again. So it's really, really big news for Brett Bielema.
There's a lot of questions about what will the defensive front be like. And I'll just remind you, that was the big question coming into this past season. Mm-hmm. And so you're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, and people, sometimes I feel like I've had this question several times. I don't think people realize that the portal closes Friday. We're recording this Friday. It closes at midnight tonight. You can't put your name in after that. But people can still transfer beyond that. They just need to have their name in by midnight tonight. There are players, you know, a player at Kent State or something who's had some interest might put their name in, be in the portal all spring, and then have some offers later, kind of thing. That the portal does close tonight, but it's just entrance to the portal. You just have to have your name in there if you plan to transfer. So there will still be several and many transfers coming after this date. It's not like today is the last time you can add a player from the portal. Obviously, they want to get them in. They want to get them in the first semester, have them in spring practice, all of that. But there's also a situation of there will be many names that are still in the portal, taking visits, and still trying to decide as the month goes along.
I still am trying to find out where is the portal.
Yes. You know, I found it once. If I could pull up the tweet, I would. Maybe I'll put it in and post if I could find it. I was at an event at the stadium, and I went out like right at dusk into the colonnades, and you know, they light them orange. And I took a picture from one end, and it looked like there was just a tiny little glowing spot all the way at the end. And so I just jokingly said, "I found the transfer portal." So until somebody proves me wrong, I'm believing that in the colonnades, on the west side of the stadium at Memorial Stadium, all the way down at the end, is the exact location of the portal.
Is it kind of like the getting into the upside down in Stranger Things? Is it like sort of reaching through that? Or is it like walking into the corn at Field of Dreams? Or is it more like an actual building with a bunch of barracks or a facility where, you know, it's like, okay, this is your room while you're in the portal?
I'm thinking
you may not repaint the walls to a different color because you're only here temporarily.
My brain goes to Star Trek and those little pods, the little spot they would stand on, and then Scotty would beam them down.
Yeah.
I think that's how it operates.
Is there like a cafeteria in the portal?
I don't believe so.
A lounge, I'll ask ping my pong table? We'll
look, but yes.
If you could go find that little, I just want to know what it looks like.
I'll put the portal picture up when I put this episode together, and you'll see what I mean.
Is it like portal.ncaa.com? You know, username and password, please. Like,
yes.
Forgot. Click here if you forgot your password to the portal.
Exactly like those old days.
All right, Monday night is the college football national championship.
Yes.
I'm going to say this. Mm-hmm. Indiana's a great story.
Yes.
I don't know how much it pains you, but I have no problem with Indiana winning.
Gosh, this is so hard. I got to be careful here.
So hard to speak about the Hoosiers. I've touched a nerve.
Yes. I don't have that go Big Ten thing that a lot of people have. In the NCAA.
Are you saying you're a little unique in your Illini fandom? And
probably. I don't have, you'll see a lot of things during the tournament of like, oh, the Big Ten's 8-5 in the first weekend. It's a good weekend and this and that. I'm like, I don't care. I want all the other Big Ten teams to lose. I can't be at Michigan grinding my teeth like, oh, I can't stand these fans. And then 2 weeks later be like, go Big Ten team. I just can't do it. I don't have that.
So you could never run for president.
No way.
Because
0%.
You'd be in the primary duking it out with your party mates trying to get the nomination. And when you don't get the nomination, then you have to say, well, let's all get in line behind so-and-so now. Chance. We're unified now. You'd just be like, I can't.
0% chance.
You're like, instead of 100%,
0%.
That's going to be my new thing with yes. you, 0% chance. We're going to talk about something with 0% chance coming up, by the way.
Foreshadowing.
Yes.
But, yeah, I just can't. I don't have it in me to like, I'd like to see. Do I logically understand that it would be a big thing to say, you know, the last three national titles all went to Big Ten teams and three different Big Ten teams? I think the power shift has happened in college football. Yes, I understand that logically. When I turn the game on, will I be like, oh, man, I hope Indiana scores here? No, I will not. Because, look, I was at the game in September. I remember what 63-10 felt like. I walked back out to my tailgate to find that someone had stolen a chair so that they could have a piece of Illini lore from their blowout. I'm still living this life of all these, I tweeted my tailgate location that day and I had a bunch of Indiana fans like trying to find me and coming by and like yapping at me from the edge. I lived this life.
Can't believe that happened after you tweeted out your location.
Exactly. So having lived all that, I can't then just turn around on Monday night and be like, yeah, go Big Ten, go Hoosiers. I don't have it in me. Here's the best I can do. I am, I feel good for our partner in the basement for so many years. So many years, let's go back to 2003 or whatever. Indiana and Illinois would play a football game. And the winner would go 1-7 in the Big Ten, and the loser would go 0-8. And that was just the, hey, it's our one chance to win. So when it's your cousin you were always in detention with, and then your cousin is getting married, you're like, hey, I feel pretty good for them. Like, we became rivals later in life, but you know what? Good for them. That's the best I can do, because I just don't feel... I don't feel any go Big Ten here. I just feel like I don't know how this is possible. And that guy who stole my chair is going to be happy if they win the national title. And I don't want him to be happy. I want my chair back.
I'll tell you this. Anybody who is not a Miami fan or wants to see an ACC team win is rooting for Indiana.
Yes, I think you're right. I'm going to root for my wife wanting to watch CSI reruns. That's what I'm going to be rooting for, because I don't know if I really even want to see any of this.
CSI Miami?
Could be. The Shades guy, David Caruso. Yeah.
You're just not only going to, you're going to twist the knife. Like, not only am I watching CSI reruns, it's going to be CSI Miami.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Just stick it to the man.
That's right. That's right.
Head coach in America is saying, good for Kurt Cignetti. You're making us look bad. 100%. Would you please? Did I already tell you this story?
No, tell me.
A friend of mine, this is a few years ago, a friend of mine at church, says, my wife's birthday is coming up. I go, what are you going to do for her birthday? He's like, I'm going to, for the whole day, I've already told him I'm her servant. Mm-hmm. Whatever she needs, whatever chores, whatever tasks, I don't want her to lift a finger the whole day. I'm just going to be at her beck and call to to serve her and take care of whatever she wants done around the house or for her personally, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let's not tell other people about this.
Yes, yes.
So that
then
our,
it becomes the birthday thing.
Yeah, you're going to make the rest of us look like we're not doing enough here with for our own wives.
Yes.
I feel like Kurt Cignetti's like, great story, and all the rest of the head coaches have to be like, Kurt, come on, man. Now I got people here saying, why aren't you doing this? Yes. Why aren't you going from nothing to won't lose a game, national champion, Google me.
The college football program with the most losses ever, and who was what, 4-8 or 3-9 coming into his tenure, that's the team that goes 11-1 and then maybe undefeated national title. I don't get it.
I know it strikes a sore spot for you, but it is one of the great American college sports stories ever.
It is unbelievable,
especially if they win, even if they don't.
Yeah,
but
in a sport that has been dominated by the bluest of blue bloods forever. When's the last team that has never won a title that would win a title? It has to be forever. Like 30 years? I don't know. Like, it has to have been forever since a new team raises their hand and says, hey, how about we win a title? It just doesn't happen in this sport. And it might happen on Monday. It's crazy.
Well, I'll be watching.
I'll be watching. Yeah, that was my beginning of the Who song when the he takes the shades, he puts them on, and then they hit the Who Are You? I believe they use Who Are You for CSI Miami. That's what I'm going to be watching.
Yeah, you should come in with those shades for our next episode.
Yes, love it.
That'd be great. All right. Finally, our last episode, the last previous episode. I guess that's a redundant statement.
Our last previous episode. Yes, go keep digging.
In our previous episode, we were grateful for Athletic Director Josh Whitman to have been our guest. If you missed it, of course, you can find it wherever you're watching or listening right now. But a couple of things that to take away from that. Well, I guess it's you pointed it out, so I want you to point it out here. Just a couple of things that he said that were like, oh, that's noteworthy. Didn't realize that before he talked with us.
Yes. I think the biggest thing is the discussion of the South End Zone, that he noted that it would be probably 10 years before any large renovation happened. He did note that they would be looking at the area between the front of the horseshoe and the field. Do they bring seats further down? Do they do some type? You know, we've seen so many programs add like kind of social bar areas in those spots, kind of thing of like, hey, there's some high top tables and people can congregate behind the end zone, and you know, maybe there's
like
this
kind of tiered or terraced type of deal.
Yeah. Sure, there could be those type of things. So he said they're going to study that, but the question that everyone was asking about, like, okay, well, the Larry Geese money is here, it's going to be applied to the stadium. Does that mean there's going to be some big renovation like the images we saw 10 years ago? And his answer was that's probably 10 years off, and that's why they're comfortable putting up this new scoreboard now. That's interesting. I don't think, you know, the history here probably has to be told, that when people saw those renderings of redoing the South Horseshoe, moving the seats closer to the field, that was all part of the proposed, what became the Smith Center. That was going to be seats above and then the entire football facility underneath. The decision was made when Lovey was the head coach that they preferred to have the football facility attached to the indoor practice facility and not attached in the stadium. And so they basically decoupled that and they moved it over and they built it there on the east side of the stadium, and it's now attached to the indoor practice facility. And that's where the team gets ready in the locker room and then walks across to the stadium. So because that change was made, everything people were thinking like, hey, when's that project coming? We saw those renderings. Well, that project was kind of eliminated because they did the renovations and they did the Smith Center over there. So now that question's been hanging out there. Hey, are they ever going to do that? What happens to the end zone? Look, there were 4 sellouts last year. Maybe they need to expand the seating a little bit. What's going to happen? And his statement was that the expansion of that, or at least a big redo of the entire South End, is probably 10 years off. And they're going to look at the seating bowl and see if there's other ways to you know, he even mentioned the angle down to the field of like, okay, well, what if you take those lower seats and you redo the concrete and it slopes at slightly a different angle and ends up much closer to the field and that type of thing. It sounds like that's what they're going to be studying. And that's noteworthy because people have been wondering, hey, four sellouts, is there a horseshoe renovation coming?
When the decision was made, as you said, to decouple, it made complete sense to me. The priority at that time had to be what helps us win football games. Yes. This has to come first. What helps us win, and adjacent to that is what helps us recruit yep. players. And so everything kind of went into what is going to help player development and thus win, what's going to help us attract players that we can develop and thus win.
Yep.
It's clear that, you know, the Memorial Stadium from a fan experience needs upgrading.
Mm-hmm.
But they let go of that priority for this one, and I think it is paying off.
Yep.
There is going to be some delayed gratification in terms of a better seating experience in the south end zone. It's just the way it's going to go, but I don't think there's too many people to say I'd rather be fighting for 4-8 every year with chairbacks
mm-hmm.
than knocking on the door of the playoffs with bleachers. But they're going to enhance things in other ways. Both would have been nice. The other factor in this, and I don't know how much one competes with the other, but obviously NIL and all that, it's a whole different world where resources are going multiple directions. So it's going to be a slower process, but it'll get there.
Now, there's one thing that was proposed by some crazy blogger guy when they did move it over. You know, there's this guy, I think his name is Robert. He wrote this article.
Are you going to talk about yourself in the third person now?
I am.
Because that's never a sign of narcissism.
Yes, there's this guy who wrote this article that there, since the locker room is going to be essentially across the sidewalk, not part of the stadium, that when they build the locker room over there, what they should do is build a floor to the locker room that lowers like a stage in some theater kind of thing. And then this secret tunnel straight from that locker room to the field. And if they would have listened to that guy, how cool would it have been to see these videos of the entire floor of the locker room after the team is ready getting lowered down and then they go through the tunnel into the stadium. It might
Where would
have
they
cost
come back?
Millions.
Where would they come in?
We haven't worked that out yet. We haven't worked out, you know, some staffer coming in the other end of the locker room to like grab towels and the floor is down and he tumbles and breaks an ankle. We didn't really cover any of that. We just came up with this idea of what if there's a tunnel straight underneath from the Smith Center to the field and that's how the team gets there.
Better yet, what if the floor of the locker room splits open and there's a pool underneath and everyone falls in?
Yes. And then George Bailey marries. Okay, we won't go there. So it's the whole thing is that what people should do is just listen to my crazy ideas. I've got some for the State Farm Center too. I've got some. Oh boy, you see my face? You know what's coming. It'll be fast.
Rails.
30 seconds.
Mashing the cake.
I had this whole idea that it was so far from Underwood's office in Ubbin to get to the practice court that they should put in a one-man Batman elevator in his office. That he just steps into the elevator, it goes down, and then the doors open out onto the practice court. Because he's got that window from his office into the practice court.
Yeah.
Put a one-man elevator right there, and that's how he gets the practice.
The coach's office is a story above the practice floor. Yes. Why not a pole? Batman goes down a pole.
No. It needs, actually, maybe just one of those small like elevators you see in a rich guy's house. Just some, maybe you could take a root recruit and like their family, maybe a four-person elevator, and you just say you're ready to see the practice facility, and you just hit some button, and there's music, and there's smoke.
It's actually a code, but he puts his hand over it so that nobody sees what the code is.
Look, when I was getting my design degree in landscape architecture here at the University of Illinois.
Money well spent.
These were the ideas that were floating around. They have taught me to think outside the box here, and these are the design thoughts that I have. Somebody needs to listen someday.
Okay.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to open up the mailbag. Thank you to those who have made comments on YouTube or have slid into the DMs or emailed us at lighttheeyepodcast@gmail.com. That's how you can reach us. So we'll answer some of your questions in just a moment. And can Robert jump 10 feet? Or does he need mechanical device to help him? We will discuss all that. Stick around here on Light the Eye.
This is the portion where I talk about our presenting sponsor, which is U of I Community Credit Union. It's the part where I always hold up the debit card / credit card, the card you can flash around town with the orange block eye on it. I want to talk today about the website. You know, we have our business account through U of I Community Credit Union for the podcast and everything else. I was on the website today. Works just like any other bank website. It's very slick. Allows me to transfer and pay bills and everything else. So, you know, some people hear credit union for some reason and think there's some level of, I don't get these type of banking things, and that's just not true. It's all on the website. You can check it out there, just searching for their website, or you can check out their locations in Champaign, Urbana, Danville, Mahomet, Bloomington, and Normal. Thank you again to them for being our presenting sponsor, and back to the show.
Thanks for being with us on Light the Eye. We really do appreciate you very much, and we value so much the feedback we've been receiving, especially the positive feedback. But hey, we take constructive criticism as well. Scott and Robert and Amazing Maisie is our producer today. And Maisie, you've got the mailbag. Behind the scenes look here is it's not actually a bag.
Yes.
It's more a figure of speech. It's like
emails.
It's like tape. Hey, like we're taping. It doesn't actually go onto a piece of physical tape anymore, does it?
That's right. All right, you're in charge of the questions, Maisie. So hit us with the first one you got.
All right. So first one, starting out, I've enjoyed watching the podcast so far. Do you think the football team will have a public spring game this year? I would love the chance to see the new transfers in action from Keith M.
Great question. I mean, last year when they canceled it, they said it was a one-time thing and that they would be returning to a spring game in the future.
Yeah. I don't remember. I just remember that they weren't having it.
I remember just because I was paying attention because I'm a spring game junkie and I want to see it and I want to be able to watch what's happening and, you know, how do the freshmen look and that type of thing. I tailgate for the spring game. So I'm one of 17 people who cares.
You're a weird dude, Ace.
Yes, yes. But I don't know. I mean, look, other schools have been canceling. It's this thing of like, yeah, the spring game's a relic of the past when you didn't really get to, you can only work with the players so much. And now there's different ways to work with them throughout the year, both on the practice field and in conditioning and everything else. And so some schools have started to go, some schools can't go away from it because it's such a tradition at certain places, but we will see. All I can really say to answer that question is that last year when it was canceled, it was said it was specific to some of the things that were going on with class schedules and certain injured players and everything else, and because of that, they weren't going to do a spring game, but they were going to bring it back in the future, so we will wait and see.
I think the cost-benefit analysis of spring games has changed.
Yes.
Considerably over the years, and the cost of it, among other things, is putting yourself on tape.
Yep.
And football programs like to keep as much under wraps as possible. I'd love to see some sort of controlled scrimmage / exhibition with other teams, but I don't know how feasible that is logistically.
Yeah.
Just sort of like, kind of like a locker room floor that lowers into the ground to a tunnel for a team to walk out to a tunnel entrance to the field that you haven't identified yet.
Yep.
Don't know if it's really possible.
Yeah.
But
I mean, just like that, we can dream, can't we, Scott?
We can dream. All right. What else you got, Maisie?
Okay.
All right. Next one. All right. What are the three most important things that need to happen in the second half of the 2020s to push Illinois into an even better 2030s, coming from Ryan G.
Interesting. That's a great question. So, I mean, I feel like to set it up, we need to talk back through what has happened in the 2020s so far. So I had a tweet that I put out the other day that on this date, so it's January 16th, on this date in 2018, Illinois hadn't won a Big Ten game yet in football, men's basketball, or women's basketball. Football went 0-9 in the Big Ten.
So this is a date in 2018, January.
After the 2017 season. So January 16th of 2018.
Okay.
2017 football's team went 0-9 in the Big Ten. The 2017-18 basketball team had started 0-6 in the Big Ten. And the women's team had started 0-5 in the Big Ten. And both the women's team and the men's team would go on, or sorry, the women's team and the football team would go on to be winless. Women were 0-16 that year in the Big Ten, and the football team was 0-9 in the Big Ten. And so there were only like the five Big Ten wins for basketball that year. Maybe it was six or seven. But yeah, so that's where this program was. So when this person is setting up this question, we've gone to that. From that to football just went 10-3 and then 9-4. Men's basketball is currently 5-1 in the Big Ten. Women's basketball is now 4-3, I think.
And the men in KenPom are number 5 in the country.
Yes.
And number 9 in the net.
Yes. And the women are headed for another NCAA tournament appearance.
It's quite likely that in the last poll, Illinois football will be ranked when that comes out. When does that come out? Tuesday?
Yeah, the day after title game, yeah.
So it's possible. I don't know if the women will stay in the top 25. Yep. I think they could. You're going to have all three teams ranked simultaneously.
Yep. Yep. So to go from where we were to that, that sets up this question. What are three things to take it further from that? That's a tough thing. You got anything that comes to mind as like what's number one to take these programs further?
The NIL space has to be sustainable for Illinois. And I'm not saying it's not sustainable.
That's a good point. Yep.
That everybody's trying to figure out where they are, and you have to come up with a model that is sustainable.
Yes.
The other thing I'm going to say, we were talking about this football stadium, but I'll broaden that to just facilities. And I'm looking at across the sports.
Mm-hmm.
There just needs to be upgrades and or redos.
Mm-hmm.
There's challenges for every program in America with facilities.
Yep.
You know, in Illinois, there was going to be an arena before COVID that was going to be put in downtown Champaign that would have housed hockey if hockey had gotten off the ground, plus several other
volleyball.
Volleyball. Yep. I think wrestling or gymnastics might have been in there or whatever. So
just,
you know, what can you do going forward, especially in the area of fan experience, not only in Memorial Stadium, but in some of your other venues?
Yep.
So those are two that come to mind, but the NIL is probably primary because that is going to be coupled with recruiting.
Sure.
How you keep elite rosters.
Yes.
And then finally, I would say at some point, somebody needs to break through and win at an even higher level. I am not complaining. I'm just saying, if you want to the viewer listener's question of even going beyond, you know, somebody breaks through into a Final Four on a basket with basketball, football gets into a playoff.
Yes.
I don't want to sit here and go like demand like everything or bust, because I think we've seen the pitfalls of that kind of thinking with other programs across the country, but
I think that's
it's the next thing is kind of punch through and say, no longer it's like, well, isn't it great how everything's improving for this team or that team? It's like, no, actually, like, they're winning at an elite level.
I think that's the best answer
thank you
could come up with, because it's, you're right, if you can plant a flag, a national title for basketball, a football playoff appearance, if you can plant a flag and say, see, this has all been building to this, and now there's more to come beyond that, then yes, that could really, really get somewhere. I used to say, and I almost made T-shirts of this. I have actually had design someone made for me of this T-shirt somewhere in a box. That I've always said that I wanted a basketball national title and a Rose Bowl win before I die. Now, the Rose Bowl thing has changed significantly since I was saying that. It used to be win the Big Ten, you go to the Rose Bowl. Now there's even talk that okay, they can't guarantee that the Rose Bowl will be a Big Ten team in the playoff, in the quarterfinals in the future. So, you know, the chances and the odds of Illinois getting to a Rose Bowl and winning it are a lot different now. So it's that's a little harder. But, yes, the best teams to never win a national title in basketball, it's pretty much Houston and Illinois are the top two. Houston has added a few more Final Fours in the last few years, and they still don't have that title. And so when you're right there on that cusp of, you know, best team to never win at all, Houston's the only team with more Final Fours that hasn't won at all. Everybody else who's gotten to at least five Final Fours, like Illinois has won one. So, yes, a basketball national title would do a huge, huge step forward to, like, okay, these programs are here to stay for a very, very long time.
All right, Maisie, one more.
All right, for this one, just since I see it up on Robert's laptop, I think we need to preface this question with your tweet about your little barcode.
Okay, yes, yes. All right, I'll just go through what the barcode is. So,
oh, wait, so the question's coming yet?
Yes.
All right, this is
the
setup.
This is the preface.
Yes. This is the I'm a college student setup.
Yes. See, back in 1970s. No. Okay. Basically, I started this graphic years and years ago to just, if people have seen KenPom, when you go to the different seasons in KenPom, he shades it as like a reddish color for losses and a green for wins. And you can just flip through the years and graphically it sticks out to you of like, whoa, there's a lot of red that year. Or, wow, I forgot they won 7 in a row that year and that type of thing. So I thought, well, I wonder if I could do that for all the Illinois season. So I started just, you know, if you look at the middle of this graphic here, I started with just the Underwood build to where, you know, if you're looking at the middle third of this, it showed of Underwood lost a lot of games right when he started and then won, like, you know, there's a winning streak there of like 7 in a row and then one loss. And then I think it's 11 in a row when you count the two seasons across, you know, from one season to the next. So these are Big Ten games. I didn't want to have the graphic kind of messed up by even the bad Illinois teams could beat Jackson State and Colgate in the preseason. So these are just the Big Ten games, and it's a blue line for a loss and an orange line for a win. And you can see right there in the middle where everything turned under Underwood and, you know, Io and Kofi came along, and it gets a whole lot more orange as you go on the right half of that graphic. So somebody, first time I put this out, said, it looks like a barcode I could scan at the grocery store. And so I have just called it the barcode graph since. So hit me with a question.
Wait, I just want to point out that the setup to the graph on your tweet was two sentences. The setup to the explanation of the graph.
It could have been two sentences, just really long run-on sentences.
Good thing it's a podcast. Yes. Unlimited digital space.
100%.
All right, Maisie.
All right. So now that we know this, that you marked that IO shot. So Nick S. asks, what's the IO shot that signals the trajectory change for basketball, but for the football program? My vote goes to the Iowa game where Sitkowski fumble returned for 6, only to have it ruled down upon review. No way the prior 20 years does Iowa not get that kind of black magic, or Illinois not get a defeat snatched from the jaws of victory.
That is really, really good question. So just if you can put the graphic up for just a second again. Right here on the I guess I can't point at the screen, but if you see where it says 21.6K views at the bottom, right above the
show
S.
Show off.
right above the S of that is where Io hit the shot against Wisconsin over Brad Davison to break the 15-game losing streak to Wisconsin. It began a 7-game winning streak for Illinois that moved Illinois into the polls for the first time in 6 years. It was the pivotal moment of Illini basketball to switch from where we were to where we're becoming. So that was this pivotal changing moment. Is there one for football? I have one. Do you have one that comes to mind? Like, for me, it's Penn State. It's the 9 overtime game. Because since that moment, I mean, besides maybe like the Wisconsin game in 2023, the Oregon game in 2024, like blowouts are really, really, really rare. They're competitive, obviously Indiana this year, but it used to be six blowouts a year. And starting with that Penn State 9 overtime game, it was just competitive football game after competitive football game. That's where it goes in my mind. How about you?
I think that's the most logical choice. It wasn't the Wisconsin IO hits the shot type of thing, same, but when it was IO's freshman year, I think, when Illinois hoops, it was the worst year record wise.
Yep. Yep.
But they beat Michigan State at home.
Yes.
Fans rushed the floor.
This won't end well from Illinois, for Illinois, from Dan Dukich.
Yes.
Yes.
And by overall, that wasn't a great season. But there was that glimpse of like, oh, this thing could go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it went much better the next year. And we know the rest is history.
Yep.
So I guess kind of that equivalent for me, that Illinois hoops beat Michigan State and ranked Michigan State, was the opening win against Nebraska. Mm-hmm. That was Bielma's first game, right?
Yes, yes.
And it was like, oh, you can come out of the gate against another solid Big Ten team,
mm-hmm.
and win.
Yep.
We look like there's a, it just looks like there's a competent plan in place already.
Yep.
But it still had to go somewhere from there. And I think the Penn State victory, like you said, was more of the, oh,
yeah,
we have something now.
Yeah.
After, this is a new era.
After Nebraska, they lost to UTSA and then went on the road to Virginia and lost big. And then the close home loss to Maryland, and then lost to Purdue, two close games that came down to maybe fourth down decisions and this and that. So, yeah, that the Nebraska at that point felt like a false start. But ever since that, you know, it was after a bye week. During that bye week was the big controversy of the Bielma quote that went viral and everything else. And, you know, he even said when he was in here with us that he told Josh Whitman that week, like, I'm just letting you know, I don't know if he's going to show up on Saturday against number 7 Penn State, but everything just turned. Like, everything just flipped here. And that's what we saw. And it wasn't that they went on some huge winning streak from there, but every game began to be competitive. Like, every single game. You know, went to Iowa that year, and Kirby Joseph had that interception and made it really close and driving to try to tie late and everything else. And it just became like, wait, these aren't 34-3 losses anymore. This is losing on the road by 6 and losing at home by a field goal. And this is something different. And then, you know, starting with 2022, it really took off.
Well, that's as good of a point as any to close up the mailbag. Thank you to everybody who contributed questions. And we'll try to get to more as we go along. If yours didn't get read, that doesn't mean it's not because we don't love you. You're special also. You can reach out to us, lighttheeyepodcast@gmail.com. That's the way to email us questions or comments. You can also leave a comment on our YouTube if you're watching it there, or you can message us through social media at light_the_i on X, and you can message us there. Come right back. Robert, you put something out there into the universe, and I'm not letting it get by without talking about it.
All right, I'm willing. To say the word and make up right today. But I believe it's possible to make a better way. So come on. We can only fight the fight with us so long, baby.
Last week, we had the privilege of talking with Illini track and field coach Petros Kyprianou. And you, in your just you say things sometimes.
I do. It's a thing that happens.
You said that you could long jump.
Yep.
10 feet.
100%.
Sophia Beckman did more than 22 feet.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really good. That's like one of the best marks in the world right now.
Yes.
And you just decided to say, "Oh, I could do 10 feet."
Uh huh.
Care to make it interesting?
I'm in. So I'll tell you this. I was at a grocery store this week, and I saw that, like, I was pushing the cart in, and I was walking back to the car, and I'm walking across parking spaces, and I see that each space is 9 feet, which is the standard width of a parking space, and I'm just looking at what like 9 feet looks like in front of me, I feel like I could easily cover that 9 feet just with a little running start. So I really think I could get to 10 feet. Yes, I have heard everyone's concerns about pulling something. I've heard concerns about the landing. I mean, it is sand, but I've heard concerns about the landing. But I just feel like the 10 feet is doable with a running start just to catapult all of this through the air for 10 feet. I think it's possible.
Maisie, could we get your input on this? Because I think we need some parameters.
Yes, and let's...
Here's the deal.
Let's say that she has the, you know, she... This is a state qualifying... Where'd you finish at state in long jump?
Long jump, I did not make it to finals, but triple jump I did.
Okay.
All right, so you have some expertise.
100%.
A little bit.
Okay, so I will say... I'll allow Maisie, you can coach him if you want. Okay, but you may not train because I believe what you said was is you could just go do
go
it.
Go out there right now. Yes.
Go ahead and do it. So no, yes. No training. I do encourage health and fitness and exercise.
Yes, we do.
$77. If you clear 10 feet, I will contribute $77 to
the charity,
charity of your choice.
Okay. And if I don't?
You've got to contribute $77 to a charity of my choice.
I'm in. I'm absolutely in.
You cannot go out and train for this.
Look, my only...
And we also, we have to go find a location for this.
Yes. My only concern is that video lives forever. And there have been several like reporters, like ESPN reporters who have done things like this. And then that video is put in front of them anytime they make a comment on someone's athleticism on the court. So... I do have that concern that this video would live forever, but I also think I could do it. I also think it's possible. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe at 53 years old, your body just doesn't respond like it used to. And maybe that's a thing, but I really do think I could pull it off.
Well, I just want to say, I don't think the fact that you commentate on sports means that you believe yourself to be superior to the athletes who are doing the sports.
Yes. Yes. Correct. Correct. That's just my own insecurity about having to see myself hurtling through the air and then injuring myself, having to see that on video.
Yeah, but I also am excited for the fact that this could live for on forever out there.
Yes, yes. Especially if I pull it off. If I pull it off and I look really graceful doing it, that's a win for me.
Now, when and where we're doing this has to be determined yet.
Yes.
Because I'm sure, like, if we asked Petros, can we do it, you know, he might say, if you sign 10 waivers.
Right, exactly.
No way I'm watching you pull something on my, you know.
That's right. That's
desecrate right. our long jump sand. Mm-hmm. So maybe we have to find an area. I don't know. If anyone is willing to offer it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we've got the outdoor elements if we're outside.
But. Yes, yes. I got to land in sand, though. It's got to have a sand pit on this because I don't want to try to hurdle myself 10 feet through the air and then, you know, land on grass or something hard that I could crack a kneecap or something.
That's interesting. I always thought you were a guy that has sand.
Well, you know, we have sand, Illinois.
Crack out that ball.
Yes. I mean, we're backing you all. Listen, I think it's doable. I'm game. I'm up for the bet. I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Maisie, are we good here? What do you think?
Remember, her quote was, I would love to see you get 10 feet. It's such a great... Yeah. I've watched that clip several times.
When we asked you...
It's such a great way to put it.
When we asked you, can he do it? She said, I would love it if you would.
I would love to see him get 10 feet. That's such a great...
I would. It's true.
Yes.
It would be great.
Thank you.
But I don't know how much of a guarantee it is.
That's right.
But I think...
Does she get to coach me on, like, the launch? Because that, I don't... Like, how to get close to the board... And where to push off and all that kind of stuff?
That's fair.
Okay. Okay. So I get some instruction.
Yeah. And you can take instruction. You just can't practice.
Okay. Okay.
Because you believed you could just go out and do it.
Yes, you're right.
I don't know if you believed in your mind you could just do it without instruction. So
I was sitting there in the parking lot at the grocery store thinking, like, what if I could just jump off one foot on and see if I could land on the other stripe with my other foot? And then I'm at 9 feet. I just need one more foot. I can do this. Because I felt like I could stand a standing broad jump. I could get 7 feet, but I'm probably stupid. I'm probably an idiot. Well, we know that. Whatever.
77.
Okay. Yes, we are shaking on the bet. It is taking $77. Charity of your choice. No, I got to warm up though, right? We can't pull any muscles.
I don't want you. Yeah, warm up. Do all that stuff.
I mean, we're still gonna pull muscles, but can't really violently tear a muscle.
No, Roberts should be harmed in the making of this stunt.
Okay. And I will have to prove that I did it with film, so I understand that the video would exist out there in the world.
Thanks so much for joining us on this edition of Light the Eye. We really appreciate you hanging out with us. And as always, we will talk to you next time. Thank you to Maisie Garrett, for Robert Rosenthal, and Scott Beatty. It's Light the Eye.